Harper Audio presents Elegy for Eddie, a Maisie Dobbs novel by Jacqueline Winspear, performed by Orla Cassidy. For evil to happen, all that is necessary is for good men to do nothing. Edmund Burke. Once in a while you will stumble upon the truth, but most of us manage to pick ourselves up and hurry along as if nothing had happened. Winston Churchill. Prologue. Lambeth, London, April 1887. Maudie Petite pushed the long broom back and forth across the wet flagstones, making sure every last speck of horse manure was sluiced down the drains that ran along a gully between the two rows of stalls. Night work at Starling's Brewery suited Maudie, because the grooms and drivers were just leaving when she arrived in the evening, and there was only the night watchman there, and one stable boy who slept in a hayloft over the harness room, just in case a horse was taken ill. Maudie was all of 16, and though an observant woman with a measure of common sense could see that she was in the final weeks, if not days, of pregnancy, her long skirts and a loose blouse topped with an old coat served to cloak her condition. Disguise was crucial, because if the governor found out, she'd be out on her ear with a new baby and no job to keep the poor little scrap. Maudie had been born in the workhouse, and she was determined that not only would she not be going back there, but her baby wouldn't be born in the workhouse either. From the time she was 12 years of age, Maudie had cleaned the stalls at the brewery every night, and then gone on to the morning shift at the pickle factory, and sometimes picked up a bit more work at the paper factory in between. She had precious few hours each day to mind her own business, but considered herself lucky to have a roof over her head and fellow lodgers who looked out for her. Jenny and Wilf were brother and sister, born in the workhouse a few years before she came into that ugly world. But as luck would have it, all three managed to live beyond the age of 10 to find honest work outside. And they stuck together, eventually renting two upstairs rooms on Weathershaw Street from Mabel Hickmott, who was, as Jenny often said, Madam by trade and Madam by nature. All the same, Mabel left them alone and didn't want to know their business, as long as she had the rent money in her hand on time. Ow! Maudie bent double, clutching her swollen belly with one hand and holding on to the brass bars of a stall with the other. The old mare, Bess, turned away from her feed and came to investigate the noise. Shh, Bess! It's only the baby moving, love. You go back to your mush. Go on. The mare nickered, brushing her soft mouth against Maud's fingers. Maudie loved the mare. The draft horses at Starling's were all geldings, but Bess had been there for years and was used to draw the governor's cart when he went out to the pubs to check on business. They said that having the old mare at the stables kept the geldings in check, that she'd sort out any funny business with just one withering look across the stalls. Some of the stable lads were a bit scared of her, having felt a nip when they brushed her too hard. But Maudie always kept a treat for Bess, and would stop for a moment to run her fingers through the horse's mane.
Oh, dear God, Bess, my darling, the baby's coming, and here I am in a manure gully.
Maudie pulled herself up and began walking up and down again, pushing the broom back and forth, even though the flagstones were now as clean as anyone had ever seen them.
Got to keep moving, haven't I? Eh, Bess? That's what Jenny said to do, if she wasn't at home when the baby came.
She blew out her cheeks and stopped to rub her back. The horse did not return to her mush, but stood watching as Maudie walked first one way, then the other. The girl's work didn't end until midnight, after the brass fittings on the stalls had been cleaned and the floor of the harness room was spick and span. She needed the money. Good Lord, she needed the money, especially if she couldn't go to the pickle factory tomorrow, so she had to carry on. She clenched her teeth to stop herself from crying out again. Then she dropped her broom and reached out towards the bars of the stall once more.
Oh, no. The baby's really coming now.
She was alone. The stable lad and night watchman were likely playing cards and taking a nip or two of whiskey in the feed room, which was just as well. She didn't want anyone to know. She just wanted to lie down and have her baby. Taking a deep breath, she slipped the latch on the mare's stall. Old Bess stood back and nuzzled Morty's pocket, then moved her nose across the rise of her belly.
That's right, old love. My baby's in there, and he's wanting to come out. Let me lay down with you just for a minute. He might change his mind, and the pains will stop.